Alibaba, I'll pick it all up now. Eastside London, Rory Lawless is on Common. www.arabhiphop.com.
Uncommon is a production focused on the why of business, media, and marketing. It's made by my team at Neural, a digital agency for challenger brands and talent. To learn more, just visit neural.com. That's N-E-U-R-A-L-L-E.com.
My guest this week is Rory Lowe, comedian and general sick cunt.
Yeah, the button's falling off my pants, so it doesn't work.
What the fuck are you...
It doesn't work.
You need to find your tailor while you're here.
Yeah, I got really fucked up in the hotel the other day, and we went and stayed in a suite in the Crown, and my pant button popped off.
Okay.
While I was eating watermelon.
Speaking of all-round basket case, when did you decide to get rid of the dreads?
I was in lockdown, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically was just playing around with my hair, and then I saw like Facebook was like, you can untangle dreads if you do this, and I was like, cool, and I'm gonna do that. And I untangled like one of them, and my hair was like steel wire, and it was gross, and there was stuff in it. And then I just got my beard trimmers, and I just shaved my head
off.
Yeah,
was it painful at all? Like, was it really matted? And
it was emotional.
Really?
Yeah, like it was kind of like, oh, this is like a huge. This is a huge thing because it was like a whole part of my identity. I had them for like 10 years and then I shaved them off and then I had a shower and I was like, oh my God, fuck that haircut. And I could feel my head again because I hadn't felt my head in like 10 years.
Yeah, right.
And it was great.
So when someone has dreads,
yeah,
how do you, you kind of clean it?
No, well, you can like rub coconut oil in them, but you're not really supposed to get them wet. And like, you got to do stuff to them all the time. Like you've constantly got to, like maintain them and like twist them and pull them in and like hook them up. And it's just like, it's so annoying and it hurts.
Yeah, right.
And if you get them wet, they're wet for like hours, okay. Like 8-9 hours.
So it's basically matted hair, right?
Yeah. So mine was stitched. So like, So, cause I went to like a, I got mine done in Las Vegas by this giant, like 300-pound black woman called Little Bird, and it took her like 14 hours to do them. So I sat sat in this black barber shop for like 14 hours, and everyone should go sit in a black barber shop. By the way, yeah. It's the best. At one point, everyone just started singing "Roses" by Outkast, just a cappella, just getting into it. There was an old black guy in there telling stories about how he used to be a policeman, and then he became a drug dealer and knew how to fuck a policeman. It was great. I had some amazing experiences. They just did my hair, and so they like twist it, back comb it, and then wrap it underneath it, and then pull it, and then do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
So, but did you do it for 14 hours straight, or did she get you in there for like different periods of
time? No, it was in one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And it hurt like fuck.
How much did that cost?
160 US.
Okay.
But I think I smoked like 50 US worth of weed in the same time because I was like, this is what I need.
So what were you, what was young Rory, how old were you for a start, and what was young Rory doing in the States?
I was 21.
Okay.
I went there for Burning Man. Okay. I went to Burning Man Festival and pretty much got my hair dreaded at Burning Man. Because we went for Burning Man, and then we were like, oh, it's going to be a pretty hectic week. Afterwards, we should go to Las Vegas and just chill by the pool. And then we got there and we were like, we are not chilling. So we had to leave early because we were gonna die.
Yeah.
It was just too intense. But we drove. So we landed in LA, bought a van, drove up to San Francisco, and then drove from San Francisco across to Nevada into Burning Man. And then from Burning Man to Vegas and then back down to LA.
Yeah, right.
And we broke down a lot. That's
a wild trip.
Yeah, I went with my first girlfriend who was called Storm.
Storm?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it seems on brand for you.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. Yeah. One of my friends today was like, oh, who are you hanging out with this weekend? I was like, oh, my boy Chewy. And he was like, of course you have a friend called Chewy. I was like, yeah, me Chewy and Twigs partying.
So, man, I got so many questions spinning out from this. So, yeah. Vegas? You ever seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't believe that you thought Vegas was going to be like a decompression from Burning Man.
Well, when we bought the flights to LA, they were like, you get like a $500 voucher for any any hotel you want in the States. And I was like, let's go to Caesar's Palace because I just watched The Hangover.
Yeah. Did you ask if I walked in and I was like, is this the real Caesar's Palace?
Did you ask if Caesar lives here?
Yeah. Does Caesar live here?
I am going to do that if we ever go to Vegas. I don't like Vegas is not my kind of town, but if we do go, I want to go to Caesar's Palace and ask if Caesar lives there.
Vegas is definitely my type of town. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah. I like it's just, I don't know. It's just loose. And you can, it's your ability. The potential for mischief is just so high. Mm. Like there's just always an opportunity to just maybe push it a bit further than what you need to.
Yeah, right.
And it's all victimless crimes. You know what I mean?
It is. It's like all
you shouldn't
hard.
Be up there. Get off that roof.
It's drugs. It's being a knockabout. Like it's prostitution. It's like what else? There's nothing
Wild
really
West.
Crazy.
It's Wild West.
There's nothing. It's all
Cowboy Town.
Debauchery, right?
Yeah, yeah. And like no one's getting hurt. It's just like, hey, don't drive too fast. Don't jump off that.
Yeah, it's that whole damn Blazerian lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. Shiny things, bright lights.
Shiny things, bright lights. Snorty things.
Talking your way into places you shouldn't.
Long
be.
Long nights. Yeah, all the stuff you'd expect. Let's loop back to you as a 10-year-old, or just before. The age of 10. So you came here to Australia when you were 10, right?
Yeah, like 11, 10, 11, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know why your parents came to Australia?
Yeah, so my dad was engaged to another woman back before he met my mom, and then she dumped him, and then he came to Australia in like the 80s.
Okay.
As like a getaway or whatever. And then played football out here for a little bit. Went back home to England, became an engineer, and then was like, oh, maybe we should go to Australia for a holiday. So we came out here for a holiday when I was 10 for like 2 weeks. And then he was like, do you guys like it? And I was like, yeah, this would be way better than staying in Billingham. And so we just emigrated over when I was like 11.
Right. Yeah. And your mum's Aussie?
No, mum's English as well. Mum and dad like grew up in the same town. Like,
oh, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like all my family's English, except for the two younger sisters, Teddy and Sunny, who were born here.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And do you have dual citizenship?
Yeah, but yeah, my English passport is expired because I haven't filled that out. And so is my Australian passport. That's also
because Lauren Quala, you remember that? You need to get that shit done, man. Before, who gives a shit?
I'm supposed to go to Hawaii in like 3 weeks. I don't have a passport.
Yeah. You might want to get onto that.
Yeah,
I've
got the forms. I've got the photo taken. And I have my birth certificate with me in the hostel, which is not a good idea.
I went down to the post office down the road to get my passport done recently. So, yeah, if you ever need, if you want to do it ASAP, that's the place to go. But, so it's basically a fucking family holiday. And you came out here and you're like, oh, cool. And why Perth?
This is where my dad came when he first came over. Yeah.
Okay.
So, he played for a football team called Speewood Dalmatatic, which is like now like Coburn. Very funny. I ended up playing for the same team when I was like 15, 16.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, and so there's a picture of him in the clubhouse, and I saw it, and I was like, I look way better than my dad.
Were you any good?
That was pretty good. Yeah, I played state. But I played volleyball. That was my thing. I played volleyball for Australia for a little bit.
Really?
But yeah, yeah. Well, I played against New Zealand. I played state. For WA a few years up, and then I was like, now it's time to smoke some weed and go party, you know, stop playing sport.
So you're from Middlesbrough, which is sort of North Yorkshire.
Yeah it's like it's 20 just, minutes 30 minutes away from like Geordie Shore.
Because Lauren's mum is from, I guess you'd call it southeastern Yorkshire. She's originally from Leeds, right? But they've got some family in York.
Yeah.
But
York's hell nice. It's all like castles.
York's beautiful.
And, like,
Leeds.
Beautiful cathedrals.
Leeds is a shithole.
Yeah, yeah. Middlesbrough's even worse. Like, it's near a river, and the river smells so bad that the town just stinks. Like, it just blows the smell of the river in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's awful.
What's, like, the local economy about? Is it, like, fishing, or is it something else?
Stabbing each other. I think it's mainly just people stabbing each other.
Yeah, I remember when you told me you're from Middlesbrough, and I do the usual thing of looking the place up, reading the Wikipedia. Yeah.
It's brutal. Brutal, isn't it?
And it's just, apparently it was voted multiple times the shittest place in England.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a steel mill town, and then the steel mill closed down, and then it became a nuclear power plant town, and then the nuclear power plant closed down. And so now it's just a town.
like The Simpsons.
Yeah, it seriously looks like The Simpsons. Like if you type in Billingham ICI, which is what the power plant is in Google, it literally like there's literally two big vessels that pump things out. Like it's genuinely.
So Billingham is the town.
Yeah.
Right.
Middlesbrough is the city. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were from the city of Middlesbrough. So you're from that town, Billingham. Mm. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by Middle England. I just find it utterly fascinating.
Well, see, it's the top of England, but it's the middle of the island.
That's what I mean.
You know, like, Scotland.
If you drove from Glasgow straight down, not that you can do that exactly, but if you went through all the middle England towns,
yeah.
I just find it fucking fascinating.
Yeah, it's cool. I really like. I like the idea of England. But I really hate English people. They piss me off so much.
The idea of England, the landscape of England, the cultural aspects, even though people try and argue that there are none.
I like the music and I like photos of what the countryside looks like. Mm. But like other than that, I don't want to go to the countryside there because it's freezing. And I just don't want to go back.
I remember
I have like trauma about it. Like, no one take me back.
See, I want to go back. I look at it as like a partial homeland, you know, at least from one side of the family.
It's ridiculous. Like back home, everyone's getting stabbed and having babies and go to jail. And now I'm like, I'm going to go get on a helicopter and watch the Formula One here. Like, you know what I mean? Like the difference is just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I get that. But you can also, like, I just find it really odd that people make arguments that there is no culture in England.
Like, say that?
Lauren's dad did. I remember having this fiery.
Is he English?
No, he's German and Polish.
He's German. Okay, well, that's fair enough. The Germans have a lot more culture than the English because we just took everything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like we don't really have anything. Like if you look at the British Museum, it's pretty much just full of like other people's shit. It's not like our own stuff.
Yeah, but you just do have stuff. Like you
got Shakespeare. You got Shakespeare and Man United.
Sunday roast.
Yeah.
Culture.
Yeah, but is it culture?
Yes. Who else made
Yorkshire
that?
Puddings, that's culture. You ever had a Yorkshire pudding?
Yeah.
Yorkshire puddings.
A good Yorkshire pudding, not a shitty like, frozen one.
No, like, no. One that Nana makes.
Yeah, that Nana makes. I think it does have a culture. I think I don't understand.
London has culture. Birmingham has culture. Brighton has culture. Manchester has culture. Newcastle has culture. York has culture. Like, there's architecture and there's castles and there's, like, beautiful things, but...
There's stories.
Yeah, there's lots of stories, but a lot of England is... about going to other places, taking that stuff, bringing it back,
and then being like,
that's
ours. But that is also Australian culture as well.
Do you know, is it tikka masala? Do you know that's Scottish?
Really?
Like, I swear, I could be wrong, and I'm a white guy on a podcast, so I assume I'm wrong. But, like, I'm pretty certain, like tikka masala or like buttered chicken, one of those ones that you're like, that's definitely Indian food, is not at all. It was invented in England or Scotland.
For an English palate.
Yeah, for the English palate.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me though.
Yeah.
Dude, one of the best songs ever, it's just called Chicken Tikka Masala. It's about the lads going out. They go in the pub. Who's editing this at the moment? Leaf. Okay. Leif, can you get a clip and put over Chicken Tikka Masala, the song? I'll link it to you, all right? Something to make us feel better, you know? So we start off in spoons. Let's have it. Chicken Tikka Masala on Friday night. I fill me up with 10 bars of lager and I'll be all... It's fucking brilliant.
I'm down. It's going to be stuck in my head now, I know,
and
as well.
Just imagine a guy, right, Middle England, he's like, all right, my son, you know, like he's got the Adidas trackies.
I know like when this would have came out, like because there was like this era in like the late 90s.
Recent.
It was recent?
Okay, do you remember the movie with Charlie Hunnam that he recently did with who's the guy who's in Bruges?
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. Recent Guy Ritchie film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Gentleman. Yeah.
Okay, so in The Gentleman, you got that whole like, because the 90s has come back by that time.
Yeah.
And it's like Colin Farrell isn't a trackie, but it's like a Gucci trackie with a nice.
Yeah. He's the boxing coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was then 2018 it got published. So, wow. Like, you got that whole like resurgent. I tell you, it is a cultural thing. The UK owned the 90s, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, the rave scene, like pills, bro. Like
Spice
like
Girls.
You know what I mean? Like
Spice Girls.
Yeah, but there's just the rave music. Like, England in the 90s, like ecstasy. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously you've got like, you know, Craig David and the Spice Girls and Robbie Williams and shit, but like,
yeah, Robbie
like
Williams,
the rave scene, like Fabric. You know what I mean? Like that stuff where you're like, oh, bro, that changed music a lot more than what the Spice Girls did.
You're right.
Yeah.
When you first came here and you were going to school and stuff like that, what was like the first culture shock that you had?
Oh, everyone tried to fight me all the time for my accent. I had a little skinhead, really? And I couldn't say the word muffin properly. And I used to really
How'd you say muffin?
I used to say muffin.
Muffin?
And I really liked muffins, so I would get a muffin every day, and then everyone would call me the Muffin Man.
A Muffin Man?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, they were like, oh, the Muffin Man. I'm like, dude, I'm 10. Like, I'm 10. And then people try to, like, fight me and stuff.
Why, because you're English?
Well, just because I had a funny voice. Because it's not even like I was English. It was, like, pretty much Geordie. So it was like, you like my muffin, a muffin and that? And so people were like, what is this kid on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? What else did you have?
I was pretty good at sports. But I was just a cheeky cunt, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. Like, I was, like, always just, there was always something to make fun of.
And that's sort of how you assimilated sport.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, sport and taking the piss out of someone are very similar in my eyes.
Very.
Because like, that's what it is. If you're winning, you get to be cheeky. And if you're losing, you get to wind people up and not care that you lose.
But that is like a cultural thing we picked up from the Brits.
Yeah.
Of like that sort of, you know, it becomes part of our egalitarian culture where nothing is off limits.
Yeah.
But like you're having a go, you're having some bants.
Australians think they have banter, which I find very funny.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah, Aussies are like, oh yeah, we've got banter. And it's like, dude, if you walked into like a working class pub in England and like just wore the wrong shorts, like it's game over, like for weeks.
How is that any different to here?
No, it's there's a barragement that doesn't happen here. Like here, it's kind of like your friends will take the piss out of you. But in England, the bartenders will take the piss out of you. Like the toilet cleaner will take the piss out of you. Like the kids will come over to your table and laugh at you. Like there's just a level where you're like, you have to be like ironclad. Yeah. Like if you're not like ironclad, like if you're not covered in steel, you won't survive like in working class England.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, interesting. Not at all. Not at least in the north. In the south, it's a bit different.
So your old man, he was an engineer.
Yeah.
What type of engineering?
Oil and gas.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got into architecture, you left school, you did architecture.
Yeah.
Before comedy.
Yeah.
You recently actually had, there was some award that
I got my master's.
Are you getting master's?
Yeah, so I graduated.
We'll get into why you flipped, but was there ever like a push from your parents around that, or were they just supportive around whatever you did?
Oh, bro. Yeah, dude. Like the whole time, just get that piece of paper, man. You can do whatever you want. As soon as you get that piece of paper, just get that piece of paper. When are you going to finish your architecture degree? When are you going to finish your architecture degree? When are you going to finish your architecture degree? Like all the time. Like all the time. And then I finished it this year and they went, well done. And I was like, that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
That's all I get. I get a well done, pat on the back. For 10 years worth of anguish.
But why architecture?
Because I was going to do engineering like my dad. Because like everyone's an engineer. My uncle's an engineer. My granddad's an engineer. My dad's an engineer. And I was like, okay, this seems like a pretty good life.
Hmm.
And then one day my dad came home and went, I fucking hate my job. And I went, okay, I'm not going to do that. So I was like, maybe I'll do something similar.
Do you know why
he said that? A bit more creative. I don't know. Can't remember the exact reason. But then I look at it now and I'm like, oh, I couldn't see myself doing anything else outside of comedy that isn't architecture. Because it's just it's a lot more creatively, like, it allows you to be a bit more. I love how I'm, like, explaining how creative I am, but I can't. I can't even think of the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not as many boundaries. So you can push things a little bit further. You can get a little bit more wild with it. Yeah, engineering has got to be exact. It's more math-based.
You know? Yeah, you're shocking for, being rudimentary with things, but when it comes to creative ideation, like it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that if you had that push from your parents, what's the closest thing to engineering that is creative and architecture of some form?
Yeah. Plus I like buildings. I like squares.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like shapes.
I like shapes.
Yeah, dude, I like shapes. Yeah. No, I was sat on the river last night, like 4 o'clock in the morning. We were just looking at buildings. I just turned to my mate George and I was like, dude, how good are squares? And it was just like, you're a fucking idiot. And I'm like, no, but there's so much depth to the fact that the squares are dope.
What were you looking at?
The water and the reflection of the buildings in the water. It was a nice bridge.
Yeah, there's something satisfying about it.
Yeah.
Square building.
Yeah, 100%, especially when you're on mushrooms.
At 4 a.m. in Melbourne during the Grand Prix.
Fucking right angles, bro. Yeah.
I love that you're doing that. I'm probably in bed, like, fucking snoring my head off.
I said I was going to go to bed early. I was like, I want to go to bed early. And then some dude after the show came up to us and was like, here, you want an ounce of mushrooms? And we were like, oh, now we have to do mushrooms.
See, this is a problem when people... It's a good thing, but people say, oh, what's the double-edged sword of being an online, having an online presence? People know you so well.
A bunch of kids stopped me on the way here while I was on a scooter. A bunch of like 15-year-old kids like, Rory. I was like, what the fuck's going on? Like, can we get a photo? I was like, dude, you're on a school trip.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally on an excursion.
But everyone knows.
Well, hell yeah, come. Let's get some photos, you know?
Everyone knows your vices. Yeah. They know you intimately more than you realize. And then you meet them and it's like, well, I wouldn't say
they know my vices more than my virtues. That's definitely how it works.
So explain where comedy comes along. You got architecture, 10 years of that.
I did my first gig in high school. I did it for the talent show at high school when I was 17, and I took the piss out of football players to the point that the principal had to drive me home that night.
And was that because
when you
were growing up, you were like – comedy or having banter was like your thing to fit in, so to speak?
Like, it's definitely a defense mechanism, I guess. But like, also, like, my family's just funny. Like, everyone's funny all the time.
Yeah,
like,
are they funny?
Like, it's just, there's just constant, there's just humor everywhere. And like, no one lets anyone get on top. Like, there's no, like the status quo is always changing. It doesn't matter if, like, mom, dad, sisters, me, you know, like, the status quo is always changing, and it changes with, like, every sentence.
So there's always a challenge.
Yeah, it's always a challenge, and someone's always got something quick and witty to say. And so you're like, well, you better get it back, you know, like, because you can't just sit there and take it.
Yeah.
You know?
Sounds like my household.
Yeah. Well, I've got four sisters, mum, dad. We grew up in my nana's house, so I call my mum and dad by their first names. I call them Nikki and Kenny because, like it was like my mum, my dad, my nana, my granddad, and my uncle all living in the same house when I was growing up.
Uh-huh.
And so because everyone called my mum and dad Nikki and Kenny, I call them Nikki and Kenny. But everything was just like quick. Like, my nana had a heart attack last week, and I was like, man, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? She's like, yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm fine now. You should have seen how gorgeous the paramedic was when he came in. I'm like, nana, you're having a heart attack and you're like trying to hit on this dude? She's like, yeah, I didn't have a bra on anyway. And he had to rub all the stickers on my chest. I was like, oh, I bet you that these are the best steak you've seen in a while. I was like, nana, how are you having a literal heart attack and actually taking the piss out of the paramedics? She goes, I only hit on one of them because the one was fat. I was like, fuck, are you fucking serious?
Does she live in Australia or the UK?
No, she's in the UK. Yeah, she's in the UK. But she's a weapon. Like, she's a weapon.
So nana is mum's?
Yeah, mum's side. Mum? Yeah. Okay. But dad's mum died before, well, probably a couple of years after we came back, came to Australia.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she passed away. She's 66. She had lung cancer.
Okay.
But nana Mary has, like, arthritis, had a stroke, like, had a heart attack, had, yeah, like,
she's one of those
kidney cancer. Like, she just can't bring her down.
Can't defeat
she's a weapon.
Her.
Yeah, she's got, like, purple hair. She's one of those nanas with, like, dyes her hair different colors and has heaps of bangles on, grabs dudes' dicks at the bar. Yeah, she's loose.
So you got four sisters, right? Are you the youngest?
I'm the oldest.
Right.
Yeah, apparently I'm setting an example.
Oh my god. So what age is the youngest sister?
Teddy is she just turned 15. And she is netball player. So she's like 6 foot one. She's like 15.
Wow.
Yeah, she's almost as tall as me. And she just got picked up to play for like the under 19s state side. And she's like 15. So she's in Tasmania next week. So I'm going to try and go over and surprise her.
Yeah.
See if I can get a day off doing all this.
What, and the other three sisters?
So Teddy is the youngest, and then Sunny is a year older than her. She's very good at netball as well. She's doing like pretty much the same thing. They're both obviously still in school. Teddy's like me. She's just like a cheeky little motherfucker, while Sunny's like very regimented and organized and like quite focused. And then Darcy is 25 this year.
What an age gap.
Yeah, yeah, big age gap. It's like 12 years or 10 years. It's 15 years between me and Teddy. So when I'm 30, she'll be 15.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also those two youngest, they're like Irish twins, 15 and 16.
Yeah, 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 pretty much, yeah. Yeah. And so Darcy is doing, she did fashion designing and she's working with an interior design company at the moment. And then Georgia, who's 2 years younger than me, so she's 27, she sells blockchain strategies for Amazon and is like sitting on like dumb, stupid money. And she's just about to have a kid.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, they've got... I know she probably works at AWS.
She started off at...
She's probably got a brain on her.
SAP?
At SAP.
Yeah, 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 SAP. Yeah, she got headhunted for SAP. And then from there, got picked up by Amazon to sell. No one in my family knows what she does. Like, she tries to explain it to us, and we're like, we have no idea what on earth you're talking about, but well done. Nice Range Rover.
She's probably like just an account director or something. She's selling... She's got accounts at AWS.
Yeah, she's got accounts and she sells something.
I remember
it
AWS.
Me so much.
AWS had this like launch of a product. It was like a blockchain product, and yeah, it's probably crazy expensive.
Yeah, it's like a point of sale strategy.
$1 million a year.
Oh yeah, she's doing like $4-5 million deals with like Toyota and shit like that. And yeah. I'm like, can I get a car?
Please help me.
Please go have a car. Okay, I mean, so, I say that, but I also need to get my license back from the police.
And your passport.
Mm-hmm.
We can see how
organized.
The
police didn't take my passport. I just got pissed and lost it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain it's down the back of a couch in the Exford Hotel in Melbourne.
Your passport.
Yeah, I lost it.
Wait, are you saying you lost it like recently?
No, I lost it exactly this time last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I implore people to go look up the Exford Hotel.
It's brutal.
It's right on the corner of Chinatown. It's an interesting, you know the one.
Yeah.
The Bottle-O loan.
Yeah, the 24-hour Bottle-O.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, it's game on.
And the 7-Eleven's over the road.
Yeah, it's great.
I know that spot well because there's a guy who used to be on the tram that we would catch into the city. And he looked like he was a homeless Buddhist monk.
Yeah.
Never wore shoes, always had like this sort of gown that looked like a monk's gown, but he had a speaker in his pocket.
I was just singing Hare Krishna, so Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna.
Yeah,
he played like top 30 songs and shit. Bizarre.
Yeah, like I know you're homeless, but you got good taste, bro.
Yeah, but his feet were wild. They were like hobbit feet because yeah. It's so dirty. Ooh. And
homeless people's feet are fucked.
It's so specific.
Dude, it is though. Like you look at homeless people's feet and you're like, dude. Like,
well, they don't have shoes. Most
yeah, but they've got like they got their nails out, and there's like that dirt like in between the toe that comes up, you know. And you're just like, well, and there's hair on them, and you're like, dude, your feet don't even look like they match your body.
No, they're little that. Hobbits.
Yeah, I don't.
Hobbits. Okay, so comedy.
I've got gout.
talk me through.
I've got gout. Every time you see a homeless person with a trolley, you're like, there's nothing in a trolley. Why do you have a trolley? Like, oh, you're using it to walk around with because you got gout. You've got to cut your feet off.
It's like a fucking disease from the 1800s.
Yeah. Ooh.
Talk to me about where you've come from. Obviously, Rory, today, the last year, you, apart from lockdown, you're touring regularly and you've recently done Perth Fringe, Adelaide Fringe, now you're doing the Melbourne Comedy Fest.
Yeah.
Right? How does Rory, 18-year-old, studying architecture, get to this point?
Small steps. Not really paying attention to what the main goal is. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's just I just have fun. I just like having fun, and I try not to take anything too seriously. And I know that we've got plenty of time to do whatever we want to do. And like I've just slowly figured out what I enjoy doing, and then I've just kept doing the thing that I enjoy.
And was it that in the beginning you would just make online content? Do stand up, and you were based in Perth and that was your thing that you were doing on the side outside of studying.
Yeah.
And then over time, you started to build these connections with people like Lewis, with Luke and all those sort of guys, and you'd start coming to different cities.
Yeah, I mean, I've only recently, like in the grand scheme of things, Luke and Lewis are very new friends. Like,
Frenchie, Isaac.
Yeah, again.
Who was the first person you hung out with?
This is the thing. I never hung out with like the YouTube guys.
Yeah.
The internet sensations are always people that I was like, man, I want to kind of be like that. That's dope. Like they're doing cool stuff on the internet. That's sick.
Yeah.
I was always hanging out with like Chris Franklin, like I'm a bloke, I'm a yobbo, and my best mate's name is Robert. Like I was hanging out with like 45-year-old, 50-year-old men who'd been doing comedy, like stand-up comedy for like
because that's where you're hanging
20,
out.
30, 40 years. And like that's what I would drive from Perth to like fucking Geraldton to do a 5-minute spot for $50.
Wow.
Yeah, like it was just like I loved stand up.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why I was always just on stage. I couldn't ever do let's do a skit. I was like, dude.
You're not a skit.
Yeah. I don't even like watching skit shows.
Really?
Yeah. So like Skit House and fucking Chappelle Show and like, you know.
You don't like it at
all. Tim and Dylan, or what, Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
Oh, that stuff freaks me the fuck out, man.
Why? I don't know.
I'm just like, because it's just like, it yells at you. It's like, here's context, here's a scenario, here's why it's funny, next, another context, more scenarios, more people, funny stuff, next. And I'm like, And there's no flow to it. It's just kind of like throwing funny stuff at you and hoping that you like it. And I don't really fuck with that as much. I want to hear someone tell me a story.
So you like real life. You don't like playing pretend.
Yeah, not particularly. I want to listen to Richard Pryor. You know, I want to listen to George Carlin. Like, I want to watch Patrice O'Neill work a crowd.
Yeah.
Like, I like that side of the industry. Like, when it comes to skits and stuff, it's kind of like...
When you think about it, what is it about... Because you do crowd work really well. What is it about the crowd that you like? Is it the... You feel like you're getting some sort of interpersonal connection? Is there something else to I missed?
There's magic. There's like actual magic in there. Like there's something beautiful about being able to almost, might be the wrong word, but almost steal the humor out of the room. Like it's not, those aren't my jokes. I'm talking to you and I'm taking your funny.
Yeah.
And I'm giving it to everybody else.
Okay.
You know, and there's something beautiful about that. And it's like, we're never going to have this gig again.
There's no way we can recreate it.
We can't have this again. Like even if we got everyone that was in this room to come back again next week and sat you in the same seats with the same clothes and had you in the same mood, we still wouldn't have the same gig.
Mm.
And there's something magical about just having like something authentic and genuine and beautifully unique and only happens this one time. And like, that's why I like crowd work.
Mm. Yeah. No, I agree with that. That's a good way to look at it. It is it's impossible to recreate something.
Yeah. And then everyone leaves going, that was for us.
Yeah.
That was our moment. And they like, cause you know, comedy's about removing the stage. You know, it's about removing the lights and removing everything. And like the comic and the audience being on the exact same level.
Mm.
Like, it's not like music where there's like a podium and fucking lasers and like you're supposed to look at them with like glory and like fondness and adoration. But like comedy is supposed to be level. Mm. If anything, I'm supposed to be beneath the audience.
True comedy.
Yeah.
True comedy when you're doing a show and you're engaging with the crowd. Yeah, I never thought about it like that.
Yeah. I tried to do this thing in Adelaide at the Fat Cave, which is like a big show in like the late night show.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just fucked up. And I was like, ah, I've been doing these same jokes like for the last 2 weeks and I'm kind of sick of them. So I want to do something different. So I stole the gown and the slippers from the hotel and like walked over to the gig at like 1 o'clock in the morning in the gown, put my sunglasses on and just started doing this character called Rich Guy Rory, where I just walked around and went, hey, that's business, baby. And like started doing jokes about how like all my servants on the yachts weren't doing what they're told. So I was throwing them overboard. And some people found it funny because they understood that it was a joke, but most people were like, this isn't funny, we can't connect to this.
Yeah.
And like that's the thing, you gotta be able to like, you know, remove the ego and remove the level and just connect on a very base, like we are the same, and like that's where the humor comes from.
When you were growing up, you mentioned before about like a Patrice O'Neill, Carlin, etc. Who was the one that, like, for me, Carlin like lifted the lid.
Yeah.
On comedy for me, in terms of my appreciation for it, I remember this so well when we like had finished uni, we were hanging out with friends from work and we go down and stay at like, Lauren's parents inherited a house from her grandparents down on the peninsula. And so we'd like regularly bring friends down, hang out there, and we'd just be watching whatever on the TV because there was no real TV connection. So I'd put on Carlin, make them watch it. Yeah, just like almost like Clockwork Orange type shit. Who was it for you when you found or you felt that you found true comedy was the one that really like lifted the lid for you?
Like every comic will say the exact same thing, and it's Eddie Murphy's Delirious. It's interesting because you can watch that as a 15-year-old kid or a 50-year-old bloke, and you still find it so funny. But that's like saying, you know, your favorite guitarist is like Jimi Hendrix. You know, there's no merit to it almost because it's everyone's favorite. You know,
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
So I'd say there's a guy called. It's one of the first memories I have of comedy. And there's a guy called Peter Kay.
Peter Kay.
Your parents have heard of him before. It's called Peter Kay, and he has this bit about dunking your biscuit in your tea.
Okay.
And he's like, you ever dunk your biscuit in your tea and it snaps off and then the world goes in slow motion and you're like, no! Quick, Mom, get a spoon. I've dropped me biscuit in me brew. Ah, you bastard. And it's just like this beautiful, very English, like very like well portrayed and well acted out moment. And I remember watching it as a kid because obviously I'd always dunk my biscuits in my tea for too long and it always fall in. And I remember it just being like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
And I must have been like 8. And that's what I mean. Like, comedy was always around. Like, I didn't realize until like maybe 5 or 6 years ago when someone asked me, was like, did you used to watch stand up when you were growing up? And I was like, yeah, actually, I did.
Yeah, because you kind of watch it in osmosis, right?
Yeah, you don't even
like your parents are watching it.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, I know when I was later in my, like, yeah, 8 plus sounds about right. You start noticing that shit. Maybe because you were up late enough to be watching it.
Yeah.
But the big thing for me was like, the comedy fest.
Yeah. See, I went to my first stand-up show when I was like, maybe, I think the first stand-up I ever watched live was the gig that I was on.
We didn't go to the shows. I'd never been to a show until I was maybe 16 or 17.
Yeah.
I
was like 19.
It was a tradition to watch the gala.
Yeah.
When the gala was good, we watched the gala.
When the gala was good, that's it. He just fucked up all of our opportunities to get on the gala. Everyone that's on the thing, none of us getting on it now. But okay, we'll make our own one.
Yeah, exactly, mate. We just fucking hire our own venue and kill it anyway.
It's not hard.
The gala as well, you don't get, pretty sure you get a per diem or you don't even get paid for it.
Oh, I mean, you probably get paid $50, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to like Ross Noble.
Yeah, Ross Noble was a huge...
Was huge.
Huge influence.
In Ross the 2000s.
Noble, Ross Noble, Dylan Moran.
Yeah.
I love Dylan Moran.
Holy shit, Dylan Moran.
Yeah,
Holy fuck.
Yeah, Dylan Moran was one of my... Like, I reckon I could probably quote from start to finish two or three of his specials.
Yeah.
Like, without no question. If you put it on, I could say the words along with him.
Dylan Moran, Danny Boy.
I never watched Danny Boy, really. Yeah, I had Dylan Moran, Eddie Murphy. I watched a lot of Def Jam.
Hmm.
Like, I watched the main, I mainly watched black American comics, like African American comics. That's the main thing I watched.
Look, the thing in Australia, there was definitely a period, right, where because of the Comedy Fest, English, and because of Edinburgh Comedy Fest, English comics dominated the scene here in terms of internationals.
But, that's changed. I never, even as an English kid, there was like maybe three or four white people I watched, and that was it. And then everyone else was black. Like, it was like Chris Tucker, Martin Lawrence, Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, Richard Pryor, Patrice O'Neill. Like, it was just always, always like Def Jam. That's it. And I just scoured the internet to find more episodes of Death Jam. Like, that, it's different. There's attitude to it. There's like, there's flagrancy. There's flair. You know, the things that like the African American like culture did, like in terms of comedy, or as they used to call it, like urban comedy, which is fucking ridiculous.
it's a bit weird.
There was just so much more, like, expression and love in it, I felt. Like, you look at, like, English comedy from the 90s, and you look at, like, Lee Evans, and you look at, you know, you look at, like, Michael McIntyre and mid-2000s and stuff like that, and you're like, man, this is very white. Like, it's very plain. It's very mayonnaise. And there's no, like... You know, like, you look at Chris Rock doing his stuff in the 90s, and he's wearing leather and he's walking around and he's got attitude, and you're mesmerized by it. Like, you look at Steve Harvey and he got these suits on and he walking around again, like, swagger on swagger on swagger. Like, that just wasn't the same.
Is that American? I feel like that's a lot. Like,
comedy rock star shit. And, like, you know, like, even if you look at, like, Iced Andrew, like Andrew Dice Clay. Like, who was one of the first guys to ever do, like, arenas. And he used to come up in, like, leather, like, full leather, leather gloves, smoking a cigarette. And he'd do his gigs, and he'd smoke the cigarette, and he'd tell the jokes, and then he'd smoke the cigarette again. He was like the Fonz. Yeah, yeah, Andrew Dice Clay. And he used to have these jokes where, like, he'd take nursery rhymes and then, like, jazz them up. It'd be like, hey, little boy blue. Because he got no money. Hey, suck my dick, bitch. And, like, that was his catchphrase. His catchphrase was, like, suck my dick, bitch. And you're like, you look at it now and you're like, oh, my God, this is fucked. But you watch the live theater versions of these shows and you just see women in the audience like, yeah, suck my dick, bitch. Like, it's just such a different era. And there's just, like, so much style and so much attitude and flagrancy about it. You're like, dude, this is fucking wild.
Yeah, I remember when we were in Europe, we were...
Jack and Jill went up the hill. They had $1.50. Jill came down. She had $3. It's like, it's stuff like that. You're like, dude, this shit's so funny.
Like, so you mentioned Eddie Murphy before.
Yeah.
I remember, like, one of the most distinct memories in my mind from when Laura and I were in Europe in, like, 2012 was we were at a bar in Copenhagen and they were playing Eddie Murphy's hang on. He did two different...
Raw and Delirious.
Was it
Raw? Raw's the one in the purple suit and Delirious is the one in the orange suit.
Okay, it was definitely Raw, but they were one after the other. We were there that
Raw's the one where he's like, he wants McDonald's and she's like, well, you got McDonald's back home, man. He's like, it's on square bread. McDonald's don't do square bread.
Okay, so you know when you have those moments where you're like kind of pissed and you feel like you're in like a real... pivotal moment of your life.
Yeah, like right now.
Like right now. Yeah. That's, I remember being at this bar, we were with Anthony and we were like life is great, you know, like we're traveling to Europe. There's no cares in the world. We're pissed. We've had a few great cocktails. I'm taking a piss and in the background I can hear Raw.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's the best, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that for me, I don't know. I did the same thing. Like it just felt
Like, playing that in the bathroom is like such a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Playing comedy in the bathroom.
So, yeah, that for me is my, that's how Raw is and Delirious is like imprinted on my head.
Yeah.
It's like attached to a real pivotal moment in my life.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who else. I was a big Bill Burr fan.
Bill Burr I only came across late. I mean, George Carlin was the one for me. His last special before he died in 2008 has got to be, like, I always, Lauren and I still say it to this day, we're like, Goofy!
Yeah.
Because he has, like, this one saying where he keeps saying things are goofy.
Yeah.
His
just, his premises are just on a different level. Like, he has this one premise about, like, maybe we're some, maybe the whole reasons that humans exist is to get the plastic out of the ground, which is just like such a good bit. He's like, people are like, oh, we should be using renewable energy. We shouldn't be getting oil. We shouldn't be doing plastics. It's like, nah, what if our purpose? What if, if you look at what oil is, it's this thick, dirty, gross tar substance, and it's inside the earth, and the earth is dying because it's just been clogged up with all this oil. And so what it needs is us to get it out so it can breathe properly.
Yeah.
And so it's our job to get this plastic out.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we're done with getting all the plastic out, it gets rid of us, and then we go down, and then the plastic gets back into oil and it grows into that. And so it creates us again to get it out. And you're like, dude, that is some next level shit.
What about he had this saying that I still hold to this day where he spoke about being at the front row to the freak show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree with him. I want to see the end.
Yeah, like seeing the end or just having no, what's the saying? Like nothing in the fight. Like nothing.
No dog in the fight.
No dog in the fight.
Yeah.
Like just not caring and just observing. That was his whole thing. I remember he was interviewed by like Oprah or some shit, and that was his quote.
Yeah.
It was when the only time you could find him at a serious point when he would do those sort of interviews. And he's like, look, I'm just here and I'm just observing. And this is how good is life?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But he was like.
But most of his best bits were observations.
Yeah, 100%. He was Rufus and Bill and Ted, man. Do you ever watch Bill and Ted? Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Why does that ring a bell?
It's Keanu Reeves. It's like one of Keanu Reeves' first movies. And it's about these two dudes who have a history presentation that they have to do in high school, and they're going to fail it. And so people from the future send back George Carlin to help them with their history report because these guys are so good in the future with music. They're in a band, but they're so good at playing in this band in the future that it causes world peace.
Okay.
So... Oh, it's incredible. Like, there's a magic telephone box, and they just go back in time, and they kidnap, Genghis Khan and, Abraham Lincoln and, Joan of Arc, and they just bring them into the future, into, California in the 80s and just put them on stage.
The Grim Reaper.
Yeah, yeah. That's the sequel. That's Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. So there's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time because it's just Keanu Reeves playing the best Keanu Reeves character you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. This is the version of Keanu Reeves that's been turned into a meme.
Yeah, yeah. It's the one where he's like, every time they say something cool, they both play air guitar. Like, so like, this is going to be most excellent. And like, that's like the whole movie. It's like one of the original... like Harold and Kumar kind of like movies. It's like Harold and Kumar. It's like Bert and Ernie pretty much.
Yeah. And this is the same era as was it Encino Man or Encino Man?
Potench. I think it was like 80,
with the one with
86
Brent,
or something that came
out. It was 80,
83 maybe.
91.
91 right? Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
And Encino, Encino Man, California Man, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It was 1992.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one with Brendan Fraser?
No.
He's like a guy that was preserved in the ground and they find him and he's defrosted and then all of a sudden...
I do.
And he was like a monkey.
Yeah, yeah, he's like a caveman.
He's like a caveman. He's like...
So
90s. It's such a brilliant fucking... And like his hair and everything is so 90s.
Cheech and Chong, that was the original one. So yeah, Bill and Ted's like a new age Cheech and Chong.
You're right. I was just gonna say, holy shit, Brendan Fraser is massive now.
Yeah, he got fat, didn't he? But then again, like,
exceptionally,
didn't he call? He called someone out for like sexual harassment, and that's why he like went away.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, so that's why, like, that's why he was on the come up. He made like The Mummy and all of those things.
And then
some producer like did something to him, and or did something to someone, and he was like, I'm not standing for this. He went to like the New York Times or went on the radio and was like, this guy sexually assaulted this person, and they went, you can get fucked, and they blacklisted him from Hollywood, and that's, and then the
nothing,
and then he didn't get any roles, got literally just thrown into oblivion, and then pretty much like TikTok and shit found out about this like over the last 2 years, and so there's like a social uprising where they're like, get Brendan Fraser back into Hollywood.
Oh my god, look how big he is.
Yeah, now. Yeah, he's a big boy. Yeah. But he coming back.
Holy cow. Yeah,
that's what
massive.
Happened. He got done. Like he called someone out. He called someone out for sexually assaulting him.
Yeah, so the movies he did are actually fucking amazing. The Mummy,
Bedazzled,
George of the Jungle.
George of the Jungle is a fucking masterpiece.
Bedazzled, Encino Man. Fuck, he's done a lot of good 90s films.
Yeah.
Blast from the Past.
He was the hot drop. He was like the it, he was the it boy.
He was definitely the it guy. He did a recent film. It's called No Sudden Move, and it's with Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, he had two movies coming out. He's got two movies coming out this year, which are supposed to be quite big movies. And a lot of it's got to do with the fact that, like,
it's actually back.
Yeah, a lot of it's got to do with the fact that there's like social justice warriors have jumped online and been like, "What the fuck happened to Brendan Fraser?"
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there was like, I don't know, someone must have posted on Reddit like, where's George of the Jungle or whatever, and then people were like, oh, let's actually find out, and then they found out and they're like, oh, this is some fucked up Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein bullshit.
Yeah,
and so everyone's trying to get back on.
I was thinking that recently, it makes sense. It's like he was the guy when you were growing up, he was one of the guys. Now, just jumping back to Eddie Murphy and George Carlin and these types, if you were to like look at your own comedy, I'm not going to say that you're like this person, but what are the attributes of certain comedians that you've pulled together to make Rory Lowe?
Okay. I like Kevin Hart's storytelling.
Okay.
I really like Kevin Hart's storytelling. I like how animated he is. Not that anyone will ever compare me to Kevin Hart at all. I get compared to James Acaster a lot, but I think that's just because I'm tall, blonde, and English. I don't think I have anything similar to him at all. But I do admire the guy a lot. I don't know. It's hard to compare yourself to people that you respect, I guess.
What do you think you're good at? What do you think you're bad at?
I like telling stories. I like moving around a lot. And I'm starting to move around a lot more. So I'm getting very animated.
Yeah.
And I like talking to the crowd.
Okay.
Yeah. Like one-liner jokes, I don't fuck with. I don't know how to write like a joke. I don't know how to write a joke.
So you need a big premise.
Not even a premise. Like a lot of my stuff is like, oh, this happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, cool. We'll dot point it. Write all the important bits and then write jokes about the dot points. And then that's the story.
Yeah, because that was like a thing that was observed by a lot of comedians before I met you, is like, they've all got a story about Rory.
Oh, yeah, everyone's got a story.
So, like, it does make me wonder, are you funneling the idea or the identity of Rory to build more content, essentially?
It's the opposite. It's like, I'm so glad the way that I am. Because if I wasn't this way, I wouldn't have the stories.
Mm.
Like, it's like, I just like getting up to mischief. Yeah. I like mischief.
You like doing a little bit of mischief.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said before, like victimless crimes. I like being involved in victimless crimes. You know what I mean? Like, oh, hey, you shouldn't be in here. Oh, yeah, why? Because you're not allowed.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Walking on stage naked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not naked, but... but naked enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're not getting dicks in face, but, like, maybe I'm on there with my underpants pulled really high up my ass to make it look like a thong. Yeah. You know, like, stuff like that.
And there was some bit recently where there was a video of you behind the scenes and you completely stripped down.
Oh, yeah, I ran across Frenchie's show naked.
That's right.
But that's Frenchie's show, so that's different.
You can kind of get away
with that. I can run naked across Frenchie's show. Yeah.
Could you get away with that at the Melbourne Comedy Fest?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's context. You gotta have the right context.
Yeah.
You know, you do the house party thing where like everyone's got nipple tassels on and like running around. But again, it's like I find it weird because it's like a dude thing. It's like, you know, like you can get your it's weird because you're not allowed to get your titties out in public. Or so you're not allowed to get your titties out like on the internet. Like as a girl, you get your titties out on the internet. You get ostracized. You get your account banned. You get called whatever. But if you at a music festival or you on stage,
yeah.
You get your titties out, everyone's like, yeah, woo, titties.
But like an art piece.
Yeah, it was an art piece. Yeah, fuck it. Oh my God, titties. But like, if you are a dude and you get your dick out,
it's public indecency.
Yeah, you're like, you're going to jail, motherfucker. You go,
so no, I just think it's funny.
It's like I'm not trying to sexually like go after anyone. I just kind of think it's funny to get naked because my family's like, it is going to sound weird, but like my family's always naked. my sisters are always like, my mom was always naked. My mom's titties were out all the time in the bar, like when I was growing up, and my mom's friends' titties were always out at the bar. It's just like I grew up with people who got naked and found it funny, and so I find
your sister's
getting naked funny.
Your sister's gonna debate this when they hear this.
Oh yeah, they're gonna be like, we don't agree with this because we're 15, you know. But like, whatever.
Yeah,
shut up, Teddy.
That's fucking hilarious. Okay, so. So you sound, yeah, I would agree that you're definitely a crowd work guy. Like that is 100% one of your strong suits.
Yeah.
Some of the funniest bits is you getting up people in the crowd and just like just playing around with them basically.
Yeah. And it's getting to the point now as well that people want that now. Like
they know,
yeah,
they know.
Cause they've seen me do it on the TikToks and shit like that. They're like, oh, like. Either,
it can be dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so I'll have like two types of shows. So like during Perth, I was having two types of shows where it was like some nights I'd sell out and the front row would be empty and there'd be people stood at the back because everyone refused. They were like, we don't want to get this involved in the show. While there'd be other nights where we'd open the door and people would be trying to get to the front row before anyone else.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting to kind of have that. And like, I love... like a rowdy crowd. Like I can, like I like my comedy started in like the mines and like at house parties. Like how I started doing gigs was at house parties. Like we just like, right. We like the guys would play music in the shed, you know, and there'd be like 30 or 40 people in the backyard. And then I'd be like, all right, cool. I'm going to tell some stories on the mic. And so I grew up doing comedy in sheds in backyards. It wasn't on stages.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Beach Street, shout out to Dills.
So this is before you got up to Geraldton.
Yeah, yeah. And then it went from like, you know, young dudes and like young chicks and like musicians and like cool bohemian motherfuckers in backyards to 50-year-old FIFO workers just smoking meth in the middle of the desert. And you're like, dude, I can deal with people who don't want me to talk.
Yeah.
I can deal with people who don't want me in the room.
Yeah, this right? Makes sense as to why.
Shut up, crowd fucking, come work. On, cunt. Let's go, bro. I'm comfy, dude. I'm comfy in this silence.
Crowd work would work well then because yeah. You've gotten used to it. It's kind of like when you – I noticed that when I was growing up, I was definitely way more introverted. And I need my time to recharge, right?
Yeah.
But
I've never had that. I refuse to go home.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Yeah, like I refuse to go
home. I'm like, you know, 1 a.m. I'll go home, but you're like 5, 6 a.m. No, let's keep going.
I'm like just, I remember being like a like teenager, like 17, 18, 19, and my parents would be like, where have you been? And I'd be like, I'm just out. They're like, it's been 4 days. You just haven't been home for 4 days. I'm like, yeah, I'm just
what the
I'm
fuck?
Out. Just out. You're
meant to be setting the standard for your sisters.
Yeah, I just don't like being
alone.
Not alone. I enjoy.
It sounds like
no. It's not alone. It's like the ability to indulge in stuff. Like I could sit by a river by myself. I could sit on the beach by myself. But to just sit in a room still and watch TV.
Oh, you can't
shoot myself in the fucking head.
Really?
Yeah. No, unless I'm like really like not feeling like top shape because I've been out for too long and I'm like in a ball
recovering.
I'm like, oh, just someone put on Archer, like someone put on Brooklyn Nine-Nine so I can just feel something. But like, I don't like sitting still. It's never been a forte of mine.
Yeah, right. Because I wonder this aspect of you was encouraged by what you were doing. And for me, it makes sense. It was similar. Like hospitality, the only reason I became slightly extroverted was because of HOSPO.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
forced into scenarios where for so long you're made, like that embarrassment is gone. Like yeah. everything you've done as a stand-up, you can't be embarrassed by anything.
Oh, no. And plus there's just
anything
like,
you revel in the embarrassment.
There's a community in comedy that's different as well. Like the gratitude and like appreciation is uncomparable to anything else. You know, like there's just the generosity that comics have around you. And the advice they give you and the minutes they give you or, you know, just drinks or places to stay or opportunities to come to new countries. Like you only got to do one good gig or even one half decent gig or even not even just be in the room and just not an asshole. And people will be like, oh man, I've got this gig in Singapore, dude. I know this dude. Like, I'll put in a word for you. Like, we'll get you out there. And you're like, bro, we had like two beers. And you're flying me to Singapore to do a show.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, they're like, yeah, dude, yeah. I kind of like your vibe. Let's come hang out. And you're like, really? In a different time zone. You're like, yeah, no problems. Fuck yeah, let's go. Let's
so
go
you
right
had
now.
That recently. You had some private gig out in like the Adelaide Hills.
Oh yeah.
Or something.
Oh, and it was cooked.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so cooked. Like, oh, it was amazing. So like, we do a regular show. It's like whatever show at like the Belgian Beer Cafe in Adelaide. It's like Best of British or like a pub crawl or a late show, whatever the fuck it is. And at the end of it, some lady comes over and she's like, oh hey, we're doing like a private gig for like someone's birthday, like. Can we get your info so we can hit you up? I was like, yeah, no problems. I'll give you my manager's details so you can message her. And I don't have a manager. I message back people and say that my name's Ashley Ma. And I say that I'm managing Rory Law because it sounds better when a girl's managing you. And I'm not paying anyone to do it because fuck that. I want my money. And I'm like, where is it? What time is it? And they're like, it's here at this time. And I'm like, that's an hour away. It's like Mosquito Hill is where it was. I was like, this doesn't even sound like a real place. But at the bottom of it, her sign off handles like Luxury South Australia. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, like, what is it? And she's like, oh, we have like a farm, like a horse farm, like where we train horses. It'll be there. So I'm like, all right, either it's a farm or it's like an equestrian kind of like, you know, people doing the
yeah.
dancing on horses.
It's going to be that, right?
And so I was like, all right, 20 minutes, like, fuck it, like 7:50. We'll call it 7:50 because, like, I don't want to go. And they got back and went, oh, that's great. Fuck yeah, we'd love to do it. I'm like, oh, now I should have said $2,000.
Yeah.
Like, your response was too happy. It was too quick. I was like, fuck. This is why I need an actual manager rather than making a person up. And so I was like, who else is on? Who else are you getting to come down? Because I'll organize travel for the both of us. Like Simon Taylor. I'm like, cool. So I messaged Simon. I'm like, all right, man, how much you charge this gig? He's like $2,500. I was like, fuck you, dude. I charged $750. I'm so mad. And so we get down there, right? And it's like dirt road. Like we are deep in the Adelaide sticks, dirt road, another dirt road, barely a dirt road. And I'm getting dropped off by like another comic called Ben Darso. And we're in a Prius. We are not in a dirt road car. Like it's a bright lime green Prius. And I'm like, this is how I'm rolling into this fucking joint. And so we pull up and it's like pretty, it's not like covered in gold, but it There's money on this farm. Yeah. So I can obviously see where it is. There's like a tent. There's like a marquee set up. We're not in the marquee. All the stuff's in the marquee. There's like slushy machines with vodka and shit in them. Like,
yeah, right.
They've gone out. There's 30 people here. It's not packed. Wow. There's 30 people here. Maybe 7 of them are under 15. Right. There's one old bloke with like a definite like Filipino bride, like with like big titties in like lace. Like we're on a farm and she's wearing like lace, like a pink lace lingerie top with her titties like busting out like a Kanye track. And like this dude who's with her is like bright red and old and like sunburned, like he's got cancer. And then like all of the kids are dressed like full on Eshays. They've got like Gucci bags. I'm like, dude, how are you an Eshe on a farm? Like you can't be an Eshe on a farm. Like, and I'm like, I've been in the car for so long. I'm like, I need to go to the toilet. And the dude's like, oh yeah, we've got luxury portaloos. I'm like, oh, that's very funny. Nice joke. And I turn on the corner and it says luxury portaloo. And it's an actual luxury portaloo where it's got incense in it, a porcelain toilet, a mirror. Like there might as well have been a dude in there with fragrance spraying me. Like it was like on point. And so I'm like, I don't know what to do right now. So they're like, oh, come on, we'll show you where the gig is. I'm like, cool. So I walk over the other side. The gig is on a volleyball court. They have a sand-filled volleyball court that everyone's just sat in like wooden chairs on. And I'm like, cool. So Simon's on at the time and he's about to bring me on. And just before he brings me on, the generator dies. So there's no microphone now. And I'm like, I fucking love this. This is so good. There's so much to play with. This is rowdy as shit. This is my type of gig. Like, fuck yeah, we back in the shed, baby. We back in the backyard. This is what we're doing. And so get up, do 25 minutes, 30 minutes without a microphone. It's like just yelling, just taking the piss out the kids, like smoking weed, being a little Eshays because they were kept like going off and coming back. Wanted to say something about the mail order bride, but didn't. And I'm really glad I didn't because I may have ruined the gig. And, you know, just took the piss out of everyone and, you know, wished the guy a happy birthday. And at the end of the gig, I was like, I go with the guy, I was like, oh, hey, man, thanks for having us. I had fun. He's like, we had a great time too, man. How much do we owe you? And I was like, it was $750. And he goes, you fucking killed it. And I was like, well, go on then, make it $1,000. And he fucking did.
Hell yes.
I was like, this is the bomb, bro. I love this shit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah, when random things like that come up, they are rare.
Yeah.
All right, before we get into rapid fire questions, I've got to ask you.
Yeah.
What do you want?
What
do you want? Like, how do you want to be known?
See, I used to want to be, like, remembered. You know what I mean? I used to have like a fear that I wouldn't leave any sort of mark on the world. And that was like a big fear, I guess, when I was like 17, 18, like I wanted to leave some sort of mark, you know, like some sort of
be known.
Significance, you know, like some sort of change or something. But like now I just want to enjoy myself. Like the level that I'm at is where I wished I could get to. Like, I've, you know, there's a few hundred thousand people that think I'm very funny. I've sold out a theater. I've performed in America with some of my idols in Las Vegas in front of thousands of people. I hang out with rock stars. I've been on stages I shouldn't. I've been in buildings I shouldn't. I've met people I always wanted to meet, shook hands with the best, made some of my idols laugh, and like I'm just happy. And so I what I want is what I have,
just to keep doing it.
Yeah I just want the ability to maintain a gradual progression, just to see where things go.
I heard this not an interesting quote, but someone said this the other day of like, you know, people want legacy and all that sort of stuff. And, but you know how like this, you ever heard of the Sumerians? They're like the first civilization ever.
Yeah. Somalians?
No, Sumerians. They're like in modern day Iran or Baghdad or something.
Yeah.
And no one goes like, yeah, I wish I was this guy from Sumeria.
But that was only
4,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that long ago. I don't think most people could remember people who are more than 50 years prior.
Ricky Gervais says, if you want to be famous and remembered, just kill a prostitute.
Jesus.
Which I think is very funny.
Or you like Stalin or something like that. You kill a couple of million people.
Yeah, like Jack the Ripper's always... people remember Jack the Ripper. That's all he did. He just killed prostitutes.
So I agree with that sentiment.
Yeah.
Right. Rapid fire questions to finish things off. When you have had those moments where you're chilling out and you're watching shit on TV,
yeah.
What has it been recently?
Blacklist.
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I've seen the clip for that show.
So good, man. Like, the opening of it is, like, the most wanted FBI, like, the on the top of the list of the most wanted, the FBI just walks into the FBI and is like, sup, I'm here. And you're like, oh, shit, game on. And then he starts playing with the FBI and pulling strings, stuff. It's dope.
So what's the show about in a nutshell?
It's... basically, the number one most wanted man in the world starts working with the FBI to find people that the FBI didn't even know existed so he can use them to help himself. It's cool as fuck.
Interesting.
Yeah, and the guy is just like...
genius.
Yeah, it's so
smart. It's that guy who's...
Silk on Marble. It's smooth as fuck.
It's the guy who's from that legal show that was
Boston Legal.
Boston Legal in the 90s. Yeah, he's a fucking genius.
Yeah, James Spader is the actor's name.
What is in, when you're home in Sydney, what is like your go-to item in the fridge?
I don't really eat.
Yeah, I've noticed.
I don't really eat food.
Whiskey.
Lurpak butter.
Lurpak butter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or like a cherry tomato. I want food now. It's like that. It's like if I'm hungry, I'm like, I want it now.
Okay.
I don't want to have to cook it. I want
You're
it
a
now.
Man of impulse.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a bag of meat. Like a sliced deli meat so that I can just be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I like to make sandwiches inside my mouth. So I'll be like meat, then a cherry tomato, and then I'll take a
and
bite
then
of
some
cheese.
Bread, and then
stick of butter.
Low-pack butter, underrated, I reckon.
Yeah, not highly underrated.
All right, last one for you. Drink of choice. What's like your go-to drink or cocktail that you regularly come back to?
Argentinian red wine. I drink Malbec.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
It's delicious. Yeah. I like because whenever I stop drinking because I like I've obviously been not drinking for the last 2 weeks and I started drinking like yesterday. The only thing that I ever miss when I'm not is like a nice red wine with food.
Okay.
Yeah. Not that I eat, but like when I go out, like when I eat in restaurants.
Yeah. Malbec is like definitely like there's a lot of people who have that taste.
Red wine and oysters.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
I fucking love oysters.
Love oysters.
Oysters got to be one of my favorite foods.
I had charred watermelon oysters where they'd like diced up little bits of watermelon and like flamed them up and then put them on top of these oysters.
Oh, caramelized. Yeah, that'd be fucking whack.
Yeah, it's from Meat Maiden. Like just in the town.
Just around the corner.
Yeah.
From your old hotel.
Yeah.
Rory Lowe, where can people find you on the interwebs?
I am at Rory Lowe Comedy for everything except for TikTok because some fucking asshole stole it before I had the chance to even make a TikTok account. So that's official Rory Lowe Comedy.
Yeah, official Rory Lowe. Yeah. That old chestnut.
If not, you find me in the pub.
Specifically the Exford.
Specifically the Exford, yeah. Kicking four times a day.
Rory, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jordan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode. If you liked it, do subscribe and, of course, like it on YouTube if you're watching as well. We'd really appreciate that. For audio, if you've not already listening on your podcast app, you can search for it on any good app, including Spotify, Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc. For video, if you're not watching, you can search Uncommon Podcast on YouTube. It's the first one that appears every single time. For behind the scenes, do follow us on Instagram and TikTok. It's @uncommon_show. But until next time, thanks for tuning in.